But takeaways. Here we go.
Right. So much good information here, Bob. I really appreciate you walking through, what is a vector database and some of the key applications here. So we started off with Honest OBS. What is a vector database? And you mentioned that it is a database that really treats vector embeddings as a first class citizen, right? You have time series databases that treats, time as the main dimension and time stamped information as the main data, right? Graph databases really focuses on nodes and edges. Vector databases focus on vector embeddings. And you mentioned vector embeddings are as old as math, maybe not exactly literally, but also not too far off in terms of, as a vector math was created. This was really key, right? And you mentioned that, there's kind of three different types of models. You have generative models, you have re-ranker models, and then you have embedding models, right? Where you're kind of getting back an array of numbers, spatial representation of the data, and especially the embedding models are the ones that you're using these vector databases for. In addition to being able to store these embeddings, you're able to run algorithms like nearest neighbor to very quickly, performantly search and interact with and do all sorts of interesting use cases and operations on those vector databases. When we asked you, like, is it just a feature or is it a database? Is it just a feature? You mentioned, well, yeah, yes, it is. But you could say the same thing about any database out there, right? Is being able to store and query JSON a feature? Yeah, it's a feature, but you look at MongoDB and they're a highly successful company focused around just that feature and optimizing not just the sort of the performance and the kernel around it, but also the actual developer experience around it, right? And then finally, before I pass it to you, Juan, we talked a little bit about, AI native applications and the stack. You mentioned that there's an AI stack forming. The lingua franca in AI is not JSON, though, right? And JavaScript, the mean stack and things like that. It's Python, right? And so the AI stack really is around how do we make this Python experience really, really great to create these AI experiences. Juan, what about you? What were your big takeaways?
Yeah, so what's the AI stack look like today? I like how you presented this. You have the models, right? The majority are now consumed via APIs that for production use case, this can be sometimes be suboptimal. That's what we're talking about. These things is kind of in flux. Infrastructure, we have model serving, we have vector databases, and then we have that glue ETL orchestration tooling, right? Things like LangChain and so forth. Really interesting. You say questions that play key roles around the models. Think about the cost, the latency, the accuracy, and actually the business model of that model is interesting, right? It's stateless. It's like an MP3 file is out there. So I found that really great. I really like that analogy. On the use cases here, right? Low-hanging fruit was better search and recommendation. Second, RAG, but I think the evolution of RAG, what we're seeing is in the third use case you brought up was this generative feedback loop. Because if you look at RAG, it's just like this one-way street, and you really want to be able to kind of what comes out of that, bring that back into the vector database, and essentially you're providing CRUD access into the vector database. So I think we kind of concluded that the vector databases are not just unstructured, embeddings are a different way to reveal that structure. And following our metaphor, by the way, it's in several episodes in Catalan Cocktails, we have this issue. We just got in a metaphor and we keep banging that metaphor. And today was one of those on the avocado. I love this. So do we eat the flesh or the pit? Of course we eat the flesh. It's all about the users and people giving that developer experience, using apps to solve their problems. Let's make users successful. Bob, anything we missed?
Nope. That was a beautiful recap. Thanks, guys.
There are only humans involved here. No. All right, to wrap up really quickly, what's your advice? Who should you invite next? What resources do you follow?
The advice is be kind, like how we started, right? It's so exciting what's happening in the space. Let's help each other be successful, right? What was the second question?
Who should we invite?
Who should invite next?
Did you already have Paul on?
No, but we should have Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
Paul Grove, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul and I have been collaborating for a long time, so it's time for him to be on the podcast, yeah.
Yeah, and resources. What do I read a lot? Boring answer, YouTube.
Actually, I don't think a lot of people have actually brought up YouTube.
It's not stated often enough. And honestly, Bob, I spend a lot of time learning things on YouTube, right? I'm like, I want to understand LangChain a little more. Oh, that's a good video, right?
Okay. Bob, thank you. Thank you so much. This has been an awesome conversation where we went through so many different parts. And I think this is going to be part one because I really want to go set up more. There's a lot more. We didn't talk about agents. We didn't talk about kind of bringing all the different types of databases and tools. Anyways, so much to talk about later on and applications and users and so forth. Bob, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. And cheers. And you know where to find me. Bye.